Hello everyone, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of Atletico Spudland. How's the form? Spudland with some beckin' wires here, because I'm doing this without my headphones, because I'm stupid. Obviously, you know that. Long-time listeners will know that. Well, I presume no one is a new listener anyway. Who finds podcasts anymore anyway? Since, you know, everyone's listening to Louis Theroux on BBC and John Ronson and all those people, and taking all the independent people like me, you know, but sure, that's the way it is. Soldier on. What's the crack? working on a website, spudmurphy.net. You can go there if you want. There's nothing there yet. So I'm going to be putting up some of the woodwork stuff. If any of you follow me on Instagram, and I'll give you my Instagram account now if you don't follow me, but I don't. What is my Instagram account? How would you find it? What's my name on Instagram? Now I hit the stories button. Such a fucking Luddite. I'm awful. There you go. Spud. _ MURF. That's the Instagram that I'm actually using. I don't really use the Atletico Spudland one anymore. So that has the woodwork stuff unknown. So there's like Celtic crosses, some beer mats, Irish ohm writing. There's some ruins, Scandinavian ruins. They use them in you can. It's like a letter system. Kind of like the Chinese letter system, what that is now, but this is it older? Wouldn't be older, I suppose. Maybe, I don't know. But by combining the different letters, you can make words, like any alphabet, you idiot. No, but it's like, you know the way in Chinese, you can have, say, a letter A, and it can mean, like, dragon, or it can mean, like, horse toes, you know, depending on how it's pronounced kind of thing. So the Scandinavian ruins is a little like that, in that the letters have different meanings depending on the context, and when you combine them together, they have kind of different meanings. And one famous example is, you know, the Bluetooth symbol on your phone. So that's actually two letters put together to make one thing. So to make this Bluetooth symbol. And Bluetooth was some Viking king or Norwegian king or something like that. He invented Nokia. Apparently, and I think they started off with, was it wetting boots or toilet roll, or was it Nintendo started with toilet roll? No, Nintendo was playing cards. I don't remember, something like that. Anyway, you're getting old, you mix up stuff, you know. I planned on doing a Poland podcast because there was a big presidential election here. It had the biggest turnout of any presidential election since Poland became democratic after the fall of communism and Lech Walesa and all that kind of jazz. He's the funny one, Lech Walesa. He's not really as loved and admired as probably what he could or maybe should be. And, you know, he was a forklift driver who became president of a country kind of thing. So, like, he's, you know, he's not academic or, you know, intelligentsia kind of person. He's not a politician, really. He's a forklift driver who wanted to unionize, you know. So he has said some embarrassing things over the years, but he's not as bad as he was kind of thing. He was quite homophobic and all. I don't think he is anymore. I think, but a lot of people are learning to be more accepting. I'm reluctant to use that word tolerant, because tolerant means that, like, you still have something against it, doesn't it? Like, I'm tolerant means I put up with rather than I accept, you know? So I don't think the word tolerance, people use it the wrong way, you know, like literally and stuff like that. You know, like all the footballers say, oh, he was literally on fire. No, he was figuratively on fire. But then again, some of the dictionaries have changed literally now to mean figuratively, because it's been gotten wrong so many times and gone into kind of common parlance and whatnot. What was it on with the Polish election? Yeah, so you had this Andrzej Duda is the, he won, I think he won by 1% or something, which is insane. And I think it was about 70% of people turned out to vote, which is fucking massive for a presidential election, especially because it's pretty much it's like the Irish presidential role, doesn't really do anything except sign stuff into law. And so you have two houses in Ireland, the Seanad and the Dáil. The Dáil is the proper parliament where they debate stuff. The Seanad then is the College of Representatives. Like your man, what's his name? Mullins is in there. He's an awful piece of shit. People like that. And they vote on other things. They can stall it for a while, but they can't really do much, really, you know. And it's like that here in Poland too. I'm not too sure if they have a second house actually, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. So they debate stuff in the parliament. They say yes or nay, yay or nay, and then it goes to the president, and the president signs it. And usually, the president is supposed to be this kind of impartial figurehead who can say, right, look, to be honest now, I know you lads all agreed with that in the parliament, but I think we should go to the courts just to make sure this is constitutional. And Poland, like Germany and a lot of Central European countries, have this mad law system, which is, well, it's not mad for people from here, but for someone from me from Western Europe, our law is based on precedents. So it's like some new fucking something new and mad happens in law, and the judges don't know how to rule on something. So what they do is they look back through history for similar court cases and then decide based on those what they should do with this one. Okay, now, Poland can't do that because Poland, like Germany, Austria as well, as a few others around here, most of Europe is done in this way. It's called the civil law. And so you have to have a law for everything, which is crazy. Like, I mean, for example, with this whole corona thing that's going on, and like getting kids back into kindergartens and creches and all that stuff, like huge amounts of new laws had to be passed to make sure that the kids go back to make sure that there would be certain guidelines for the schools, that everyone was on the same, was singing from the same hymn sheet, you know? So loads and loads and loads of new laws were passed through, and all the legislators are out there and they're writing away like mad trying to get these laws done so that people can get back to work and get their kids back to school and whatnot. So anyway, Andrzej Duda is the president, and he's won again. And the big thing with him is that he's the personality of an egg yolk, you know, and he kind of looks like one. No, not an egg yolk. That would have character and taste. The white, the egg white, you know, he's just bland. He's a robot. He doesn't really do anything. And the thing is that he's in the pocket of the ruling party. Piss. I'm gonna say piss. Piss party and the poo party. Poland, yeah. And so the problem is that every time a shitty law comes in front of him that no one in the country wants, but the parliament want it, he'll sign it. No problem. He doesn't really care, and he won't send anything to the judiciary, and as well, even in the Supreme Courts and the High Courts and all this kind of thing, piss have forced in all of their judges as well. So like it's to the outsiders, it looks like a dictatorship kind of thing, but it's a very soft dictatorship, you know, like no one's really out in the streets going mad, no one is really being persecuted. Even though they're incredibly homophobic, and President Duda was coming out with really intolerant and homophobic stuff during his campaigning, you know. But it's a weird one because, like, I know that in the years that I've been living here, the attitudes towards LGBT, et cetera, letters has changed quite a lot. And it's getting much better for them. But at the same time, I mean, you know, a lot of the Polish people I worked with while I was still in Dublin, you know, would have left Poland because they were gay. I worked with tons of gay Polish men over the years, and they'd never reveal it to you because they'd be scared of what you think, because they come from a kind of repressed kind of Catholic country, just like Ireland was. It's mad that someone would leave Poland to go to Ireland, which isn't totally your Catholic and repressed at all in any way. You know, it's mad. And I'd say a few of them landed over there going, "What the fuck did I do here?" Pavel and Mickey went off to London and they're having a great time, and I'm stuck here in West Cork. There's not a single gay disco, you know, for 100 miles. But anyway, Yeah, so there was a lot of that stuff going on, but like even then, Duda came out after the thing and he said something like the campaigning was fierce, it was too fierce. And it's like, yeah, man, what the fuck? Like, you were the one sprouting all the homophobic, I can't even say it, homophobic bullshit, you know? But like, at the same time, your man who lost, Tarkovsky, I think I'm finally getting his name right. Rafael, he was. Look, I'll put it this way, right? The guy who won is an old conservative politician, career politician. So old conservative career politician. Tarkovsky, who was against him, is the same age. He's liberal, but he's liberal. It's like someone who's in like, it's like saying someone in Fine Gael is a liberal. Are they really? No, they're party politics. Yeah, okay, they'll go with something, but usually they're quite conservative. That's like a liberal Tory, you know, the more. If there are kind of more liberal Tories, all right, but it's kind of, Polish politics is quite confusing, and it's, I used to be big into it when I come over here first because I wanted to get to know the country, the ins and outs and all that, but it, after living here for a few years, I just kind of give up because it's just relentless and it's very what's the word? Polarizing, you know, and like I know the thing that is that. Well, here's the thing as well. I'm a foreigner here, so I can't vote. You know, unless I become a Polish citizen, and I don't need to be a Polish citizen because I'm a European Union citizen. So I don't need any visas or anything like that. Now, I know a couple of my English mates are looking at getting Polish citizenship because of the whole Brexit fiasco. So, you know, and it's not as hard as it was. It used to be pretty hard. You had to get a fairly high mark in a Polish fluency exam. Now, fluency doesn't have to be nearly as high at all. So, like, I'd probably pass it after if I, you know, knuckled down and studied a bit of past papers and stuff like that. You'd probably get it all right. But like, yeah, I mean, there's a big hullabaloo about Duda winning because he's basically the puppet of PiS and Jarosław Kaczyński, who's the owner, ruler, ruler, owner, the boss man of the PiS parliamentary party, even though he doesn't hold any ministerial role or isn't the prime minister. Or anything like that. He just kind of works things from the shadows. And I don't know how much is going to change my life at all. I don't know if it will, to be honest. And should I care? I don't know if I should care, to be honest, because it's just it's the your man who was against him, Tarkovsky. He was just the lesser of two evils. He's not like even if he was to come into power, he can't do anything because he doesn't have control of the parliament. All he can do is bring laws. So let's say they bring in some abortion or something, right? He gets the piece of paper and says, "No, I don't think this is constitutional. This is going to have to go to the High Court and then the Supreme Court." I think that's the way it works. That's the way it works in Ireland anyway. Maybe it's just a supreme one step here, but anyway, no, that wouldn't make sense. It would have to be two. So then he would say, "No, I don't like the look of this. I don't think it's constitutional. Let's refer this to the judiciary." And then they would anyway side with the parliament because they have so many piss judges, you know, at the moment. Now, that needs to change, all right, where there is a bit more balance. But I mean, if every country is like this, you know what I mean? It even comes down to like television and stuff like that. Like, you can't tell me that Irish government don't use RTE as a kind of propaganda wing. The BBC is certainly used by the Tory party in Britain and was used by the Labour Party before that. You know, and the way modern democracy kind of is, it's broken and it's, you know, I don't think it's going to work properly ever really again. I think it did work properly for a while there, especially after World War II, where everyone was like, right. This none of that ever happen again, please. And we'll sort something out, and we'll try to make people as even and as equal and as nice as each other. And then, oh no, but not you, Eastern Europe. Fuck you. We'll sell you out to the Russians. You know. So, oh, okay. And yeah, I don't know. I think like any economists that I read up on the subject, they kind of predicting that we're going to see a return to things like city states rather than nation states, which. To be honest, I'd be fine with because, like, if you look at a map of Poland of the who voted for Duda and who voted for Tarkovsky, the whole left side of Poland, as was the same in the last two elections, didn't vote for the for the guys in power. It's the rural people and small town people who are voting for this kind of backward conservative party, you know? And I don't know, I mean, you could see things. I mean, Czechoslovakia was a country that was forced together, you know? And after communism, they were like, ah, it's not you, man, it's me. You know, let's we need a break from each other. And they broke up, and like, I don't know if things could ever, maybe things could eventually come like that in Poland, where it's just like, you know what, you're keeping us back, and then the other side goes, you know what, we don't like the cut of your jib, let's just split, and we'll both speak Polish, and we'll be grand. You know, we'll get on, but we need a break. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It's weird because it's the last 4 or 5 elections, there's been this big split right down the middle, like from Warsaw down and to the left, has all been voting more in line with kind of a liberal Europe kind of look, you know what I mean? Whereas the east part then has been the more conservative and religious type of thing, you know. But I don't know, we'll see how it goes. I don't think anything's going to change for me or my family, and I don't think much is going to really change for most families. There was one thing they were coming out with, that you know, they were voting for Duda because of this thing called Pienset Plus, which is 500 plus, which is for every 2 children you have, you get 500 zlotys every month. It's not a lot of money, but in Poland it's quite good. It's like ought to be a week and a half's groceries shopping, you know, if you have a couple of kids. So you know, that's grand, and people are happy with that. And but it's funny because they were kind of thanking Duda for this, even though he had nothing to do with it, because Poland is one of the last European Union members to bring in a child benefit system. Ireland's had it for fucking years, like, you know. And think of how dirt poor we were in the 60s, 70s, 80s and all. Came in the 80s, if I remember correctly. And yeah, there's pressure from the European Union. So whether PO or PIS had been in power, this was coming in anyway, you know. But they're still kind of blinded by this. Oh, we're getting free money. It's not free money. Like that money's coming from the tax that you pay. And oh well, okay, maybe you're not self-employed and you don't pay loads of tax, but like you have a job, you're getting taxed. That's where that money comes from. I don't know. I don't understand how people's brains work. Just like, it's not free money. It's money coming from a tax. But look, I support it. I mean, of course. I mean, give the 500. Plus to people like child benefit is throughout Europe, you know. I totally support that. I think more money should be available to people, and like stop buying fucking Harrier jets that you're never going to use, and like maybe help people build more fucking roads or more hospitals or whatnot, you know, make the country better. But like saying that, like things are better in Poland. They have never been as good, which is great. You know, I'm delighted. And long may it continue. I don't like PIS. I think they're conservative. I think they will be kind of on the wrong side of I'm just of the opinion that conservatism doesn't lead anywhere, you know? And if you want to stay abreast with progress, then you need to go with that, you know. Doesn't mean you have to be willy-nilly with your liberalism and like go like full libertarian and be like, oh yeah, we shouldn't even have police because meh, you know, that's nonsense. You know, you need cops for at least security at football matches and that kind of thing, you know. So I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that thought, to be honest. I don't know. I'd rather see smaller places have more autonomy over how they run themselves, you know. Whereas that we can all just be a federal, we could all be federal countries, or we could all have federal city states within a bigger European Union, and kind of learn from the lessons of how the American state system hasn't worked. So we can look at that and say, right, actually, okay, how can we make our system be better so that in 150 years' time we don't fail like they are failing now, kind of thing, you know? We'll see though. I won't be lighting. You never know, you know. Anyway, look, I started the podcast because I was wanted to give you a short story. These are going well. People like them. I like doing them. Let's do another one. This one is called The Paramedic. It was my life dream to work as a paramedic. I know I could have worked as a nurse or a doctor too, but I really wanted to be a first responder. I really wanted, you know, to be the first person on the scene who could help. The reason being was that when I was about 12 years old, my mom and I were in a pretty bad accident. We'd taken a short ride up to Buffalo Bill Reservoir and were looking at the Rockies in the distance. Mom was a semi-pro photographer and was taking some snaps, and she was teaching me a few things too, so we both had our cameras out on tripods and we were waiting for some of that beautiful golden hour light. Out of nowhere, some moron comes up on the curb and hits both of us. I don't know how, but I was just knocked over and wasn't really hurt all that bad, just some bruising, cuts. But he pinned my mom to the guardrail. She was screaming like crazy, but luckily the paramedics came pretty quickly and she survived. Minus her left hand, but if it wasn't for the fast action of the paramedics on that day, she would have died. And then on, I swore I'd become a paramedic because I wanted to, I don't know, I wanted to return the favour, I suppose. Paramedic had saved my mom's life and I wanted to do the same, or to help in any way for people in similar situations. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with health spending in your state. It's a disgrace everywhere. Funny how we seem to have enough money for bombs and wars and soldiers, but none for schools and hospitals and healthcare. We're overworked and underpaid, but since becoming a paramedic, only one person has left the team, and that was to retire. We do this job because it's a calling. Just have to help people. People think the night shift is the toughest, and in reality it's not really. Traffic is almost non-existent, so you can get to places faster and you get a good bit of downtime. Usually we'd hang out in our building watching some Netflix, playing cards, or something on Steam. Okay, obviously we do a bit of admin work as well, but there's quite a bit of time where you're not really doing much. And sure, dealing with drunks sucks at first, but after a while you become pretty good at handling them. Even car accidents, they're not as bad. Everyone thinks they're going to be worse at night time, but really, most accidents occur during the day. On busy days, my partner Jerry and I usually head into work an hour early, let the guys off we're replacing early. And they do the same for us when we're doing days as well. Anyway, we get into work and we met the guys as they were coming out of the ER. They looked pretty shaken up. They'd been called out to an unresponsive girl and had to do CPR. She'd been skateboarding with her friends at one of the skate parks. Just collapsed. No drugs, no drink. Just out of nowhere. Probably an aneurysm or something like that. They'd arrived on the scene and all her friends were gathered around her crying and screaming. Those ones with young people are pretty tough. The guys went off to get changed before going home. We took over for the long haul. We had two callouts that night. Both involved older people who were suffering from breathlessness. Pretty common here with air smog and pollution. We usually just calm them down a bit, give them some oxygen and make the call whether to bring them in or not. This night we brought both of them in. As Jerry was checking in the second all-timer that night, something weird happened. I was sitting in the ambulance cab just checking my phone and keeping an eye on Twitter because there was a game on and I wanted to see some reaction. Anyway, in the back of the ambulance I heard this girl laughing. Possible, I thought. It must have been one of the machines going off, or and I heard it as laughter, maybe some radio chit-chat that I registered as coming from behind me. To be honest though, it weirded me out, especially with that teenager collapsing earlier in the day. It was strange. Jerry came out after the check-in and asked me why did I look like I'd just seen a ghost. I told him about the laughter I'd heard and he just dismissed it, that it was probably the radio. A few minutes later we drove back to HQ and we parked up. We sat in the ambulance for a while. We found a stream for the game. Jerry's a massive ice hockey fan as well. Next thing we both hear a giggle coming from inside the back of the ambulance. What the fuck was that? Jerry asked. Man, I've no idea, I said. We both turn around to look into the back, but it's empty. Well, as empty as an ambulance can be. There's nobody there. Both a bit freaked out, we get out of the ambulance and as Jerry says, let's go check the back. Maybe there's some tweaker around there. I don't know, man, I said. Sounds a bit like what I heard earlier. We walk around to the back of the vehicle and there's obviously nothing there. Should we open the doors and look inside, I ask. We already looked, man. There's nothing there. I guess you're right. We probably should. Jerry opens the doors and there, Sitting on a trolley is a girl about 20 or so years old, skater looking girl. Except she's not really sitting there, she's kind of translucent like a jellyfish or something. Jesus Christ, says Jerry. She puts her fingers to her lips, making the be quiet sign, and then smiles. We both just stare at her then for a moment. Jerry and I are just rooted to the floor. After what seems like an eternity, she smiles and says, "Say thanks to the guys who tried to help me." Then she waves and says, "Goodbye." Jerry closes the doors without saying a thing and walks into HQ. A few minutes later, he returns. "Yeah, I just called them up at the hospital," he says. "She's just after dying." The next day, we told the guys about what happened. We all agreed we'd never speak a word about this to anyone else who works here. Her name was Caitlin.